Here on Democracy Now!, the War and Peace Report, I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez, Robert Fisk back on the line with us from Baghdad. In his latest London Independent article, he talks about the release of the photographs of Uday and Qusay Hussein. Robert, can you talk about the effect they've had and your thoughts about it, both the killings and the photos?
Yeah, well, you've just caught me as I've come back from doing a series of household trips around Baghdad to buy a plug for my bath and other things which you can't get in hotels here. And every shop I went into, I made a point of asking both the people buying products and the people behind the counter what they thought of the pictures. It was a very interesting response, partly because it lined up pretty much with what I thought it would be in this morning's paper, and partly because it's a kind of lose-lose situation for the Americans. More than 60% of the, 42, 43, 44 people I spoke to believed that the picture of Uday was Uday, but they believed, only a minority believed, that the picture of Qusay was genuine, because Qusay never had a beard, and he does in the photograph. Several Iraqis said to me, why didn't they shave his beard off before taking a picture of him? But of the majority who do believe in the Uday picture, unfortunately for the Americans, a majority of them believe he should have been captured and put before a court so that justice could be done and civil society could see real justice taking place, not a kind of drumhead court whereby you yell for the guy to surrender on a bullhorn and then storm the place with tow missiles and rocket-firing helicopters. An awful lot of Iraqis, by far the greater majority of those I spoke to today, complained bitterly that there was no justice in this, that if the Americans had wanted to take these two men alive, they would have done so. A couple of them mentioned Manuel Noriega, who was, of course, put under siege in an embassy and then was eventually got hold of. And I must say, I put this question to General Ricardo Sanchez, the American commander in Iraq, at a press conference he gave 3 days ago where he was boasting about the brilliance of his troops in Mosul. And I said, hold on a second, General, we've got a problem here. These guys, and your president said this as well, should have been put in a war crimes trial. There should be justice here. Surely the American military, the most powerful in the world, could have surrounded that house. They'd only had four men with Kalashnikovs. And one of them, in fact, which is not being talked about very much in the United States, was not a man. He was a 14-year-old boy. He was Qusay's son, Mustafa. You couldn't even capture them. What went wrong? And he said, it was an operational decision. And I said, this is an operational question, General. And he said, there was a question that had to be answered by men on the ground, and they did that, and I agree. And that was that. But an awful lot of people, including, I should add, quite a few American officers here, take the same view as I do. In fact, a colonel came up to me after the general had finished being rather snotty with me and said, that was a good question, and I noticed he didn't give you a proper reply. And I said, well, of course, I noticed that too. It seems to many Iraqis that the intention was to kill them, not to capture them. That the attempt to make them, the four people, individuals, I know Sanchez called them, he didn't want to mention the child, of course, the attempt to make them surrender was pretty much a formality. And it does suggest that no quarter was going to be given if Saddam gets surrounded, that the Americans want him dead. And that, of course, has not gone down so well with the Iraqis. The strange thing is that even those people who have no reason to love Saddam, and people, I met one young man who would actually rather like, or two in fact, who'd rather like to have personally shot Uday in the face, they both started saying things like, well, at least he didn't die as cowards. And when I said, well, it looks like Uday may have shot himself because of the wounds, the injuries to the teeth and the nose, his response was, well, at least he left the last bullet for himself. And in a society like this, which is a tribal society rather than a Ba'athist society or a religious one or a secular one, the idea of going down fighting against a foreigner and leaving the last bullet to yourself is not an unheroic one. And the real fear, I think, here, I don't think the Americans or even the British have spotted this in their marble palace from which they organized their occupation here. The real fear, I think, is that in death, Uday and Qusay will be relieved of their brutalities in the national memory and will become among the first fighters to struggle and die against the American occupation force, I mean, after the war was over. And everybody I spoke to today, without exception, including the most mild-mannered middle-class people, including the father of my own driver, who's a friend of mine, all said, the Americans must go, they must go now, we don't accept occupation forces in this country. I noticed out at Dora yesterday, which is a long main highway near the power station that runs along the Tigris River, a new graffiti had gone up in red paint very close to the scene of an ambush of an American Humvee a little earlier on in the day. And it said on it, there are 27,000 warriors from the Al-Jabura tribe. This is a tribe which is close to the Dacriti clan of Saddam Hussein, who are ready to threaten and throw the Americans out of Iraq. If you go down to places like Fallujah and other, Ramadi, for example, places which have been characterized by the United States as being diehard loyalist, Baathist, remnant areas, many of the people didn't like Saddam Hussein and say they don't like him, but they are adamant the Americans must leave and are beginning to truly hate the Americans. It was very interesting. The other day, there was a young American soldier blown up by a mine in his Humvee at a place called Handari, which is 6 miles from Fallujah, and I went down there. Unfortunately, I was the only reporter to turn up, so of course I was confronted by a very hostile crowd afterwards. I seem to be my fate to be confronted by hostile crowds. The Americans were still there clearing up the damage and taking away their ruined vehicle. They'd got the young soldier away. Apparently he had terrible wounds to his side, and of course he sadly died. And when I spoke to the crowd there, they appeared to be Wahhabi Sunnis who had no love for Saddam but were enraged by the presence of the Americans. I think there's a whole series of reasons why this happened. One of them was the shooting dead of 16 demonstrators by, I think it was the 82nd Airborne, in the very early days of the occupation, once the bombardment of Iraq was over. And following from that, various tribal demands for revenge against the Americans to make up for the deaths of Iraqis. And children, for example, regularly stone U.S. troops now in the whole Ramadi Fallujah area. I went down a few weeks ago, actually, to Fallujah, where there was a house-to-house search going on after the death of a 101st Airborne soldier who was killed with a rocket-propelled grenade. And there was a very nice New York police officer who was serving the military police who started chatting to me and said, "You can come and, he's okay," he kept shouting to the other soldiers. And I was allowed to go across the lines and actually go around the houses as the American soldiers kicked in the doors. Though one was very grateful for the feelings of freedom that the American had towards the press...
Robert, we have 30 seconds.
Hello there?
Hi, we have 30 seconds.
Okay, what I saw gave me the impression that they were losing hearts and minds, not winning hearts and minds. And at the end of the day, that is what the Americans have got to deal with, a hostile population. It's not about Saddam anymore.
Robert Fisk, I want to thank you very much for being with us of The Independent now in Baghdad. One of his latest pieces says the publication of the Uday and Qusay photographs will prove to be either a stroke of genius or a historic mistake of catastrophic consequences.